Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, how's it going this week after this past weekend's Future Shock?
You know what? Everything ended up going well. We had some issues with business licensing and stuff because we had rented out the arena for a event on Friday, the Matriarchs of Wrestling, all-women's show. And we thought we were in trouble with certain things. And, you know, one thing you can't do is if you don't have the license, you can't try to apply for things at my school and my venue. That's only for me to do. And it was no malicious intent, but it kind of opened up a can of worms. And, you know, trying to get the one-day liquor license and trying to, you know, put things up, you know, Clark County's always looking, man, and, you know, posting stuff on Eventbrite, and you just can't do that. And what ended up happening was they ended up coming visited us two or three times, actually. And then all of a sudden it became like we had issues. And it was like, we've been doing this for 13 years in the same venue. Why is there an issue with that? And then they actually showed up. You know, she changed up what she was doing because it wasn't allowed. And Rip Rogers was there, and it was kind of a seminar-based wrestling thing. But the issue wasn't the wrestling, which, unfortunately, when you're talking to people and they don't have all the information, they don't even know what's really going on. So I'm told misinformation from three different people, and now it's like I got to deal with stuff. And fortunately, a year and a half ago at the New Year's show, we got visited by the business licensing people because they saw online we did a show, nothing that we hide. We've done it for years. And he came in and they basically, you know, sniffed around because they wanted to make sure that there was no liquor being sold on the premises. And we've never done it. We've never tried to. It's like, I'm not going to lose my license to make $60 in liquor. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, how much liquor are you going to sell at a school show? You know, so, you know, we bandied the idea about trying to get a license for it, but they came in, they were cool. So now they came in again, looking for me and then explained everything to me and actually had the right information. And, you know, we were good. So it was like, man, we were sweating about Future Shock on Saturday, which we were unsure. And they were like, there was confusion because we have an admissions license that you have to have to sell tickets. And when we first started, we didn't have a home base. So it was just FSW doing shows. So we did the shows at this, you know, first at the Rancho Swap Meet and then the Silver Nugget. And when we were doing shows at the Silver Nugget, we didn't have a home per se because we didn't have a wrestling school. So what you do is when you get your promoter's license and you get your admissions license, you have to house your licenses. And Rocky had somebody that I think you pay like $30 or $40 for a year. So we had some address on East Tropicana. Well, nobody informed me that when you did get a place, you needed to transfer that license. So when they looked up FSW, they looked up the address. And the only license we had was for Educational Institute for the wrestling school. So they're like, well, you know, you can't sell tickets. And I'm like, what do you mean? You have to have a business license. I mean, you have to have a business license for admissions. So, of course, I walked 5 feet into my office and pulled out the licenses. And they're like, oh, we see where the issue was. And since they didn't look under the company name and they looked under the address, they were under the impression we didn't have the right licenses. So once that was cleared up, we were all good and we moved full steam ahead. And unfortunately, because one of the conversations I had was, oh, well, you know, you can't take payments at the door. So now all of a sudden I'm scrambling, like, until I figure this out, you know, I'm not going to get shut down because it's a family and friends show. So either way, I think I'm good in terms of running a show right. for family and friends, but now I have the issue. So now we basically told the students they couldn't sell the tickets at the door, so you either had to get it up front. So it ended up making our, you know, show a little bit lighter than it normally was for future right. shows, which was disappointing. But, you know, the show went off. We're moving forward. We're all good. So that's the most important thing.
Right. Right. And, you know, Future Shock is something that is important in the development and growth of the guys. So, you know.
And that's part of the educational thing, because right. they don't understand the wrestling business. So they don't know how it works in right. those terms. So it's not trying to circumvent anything. And I'm like, you know, I'm not a snitch or nothing, but fuck. Like, we have every license that is necessary and unnecessary to run a school show and run it to Silverton. I don't need a promoter's license, but I got it anyway, just in case. And all these other random companies in town, you know, I'm pretty sure that most of them don't have insurance. They don't have a license. They don't do anything. They just go to a bar and they run a show.
Right.
And it's like, you're fucking with me? It's like, for 13 right. years we've paid and made sure we did the right thing. So it's like, wow. If you guys scour Eventbrite for events to find out if they're legal, man, there you go. There's plenty to look up.
What do you think that then lends itself to, you know, all the other people who run promotions? You know, there's at least three or four, you know, people who do shows. You know, including
probably more like five or six now.
Yeah. Man. And including at the Nerd Bar with like the, you know, the micro guys, they tour their show. So it's,
you know, and a lot has to do with the venues, because we were going to do the thing with Shakur and we had the LFC right. over there, and they got their meeting this week because they were a supper club. So now all of a sudden their club didn't have the proper permit to
right.
run an event type thing. So, right. which that shouldn't be an issue moving forward. We should know next week, because we're looking to do some stuff there. But like for us,
right.
you know, just got the deposit. We're good to go. Juicy's going to be running a show with his company, Oasis Pro, January 10th. You know, we got a bunch of stuff lined up for, you know, WrestleMania week, of course.
Right.
We got a couple other people that have hit us up about an event in May. And with the increase in rent, we really tried to push forward to getting money on the dates we're not using it, because we're only going to use it two or three days at the school. And it's like, we have to try to earn income to pay the bills. So, but now we have that second venue, and now moving forward, you know, LFC, we'll make sure that we're doing it, you know,
right.
and, you know, like I had said before, due to the popularity of wrestling and WrestleMania, I think it's opened some eyes. And like I said, I got an email about next year in 2026, they're going to have a meeting of the minds to try to like make there be a payment for any show. So it's like, if I right. do a school show, you just have to get an event that you're hosting an event. And then they're talking about trying to, you know, bang you for $100 to $200 for every show. And it's like, you're at the mercy of what they feel like doing. You know, it's like I worked in strip clubs for many years. And then it became, hey, we got this great idea. Now they made all the entertainers get a business license.
Right.
And how many thousands of dancers come into town, big weekends? You know, it's $100, probably $200. They got thousands and thousands of dancers from out of state, in state, whatever, who are coming in. And now you can't get into a club without that license. Well, you know, I got a calculator right here, and it's like, okay, I click this, and you get, say, 5,000, which is probably low end. Because I know, you know, on any given day, the bigger clubs are going to have a couple hundred girls, and they rotate in. But if you just take 5,000 people over the year at $100, they just made $500,000 by saying you need a license. Because you also needed a sheriff's card. So that was the in before. But now you're a business. And they've said, hey, wait a second. So they could be making close to $1 million a year.
Yeah.
And, you know, those coffers, you know, they never want to be empty. So if they could figure out a way to bring in money and say, hey, wow, you know, this wrestling thing. And again, on the indies, you know, nobody's making thousands and thousands of dollars. And in most cases, I could tell you right now, I guarantee you those smaller companies that I see that have 20, 30, 40 people there, you know, if they're paying $250 for an event, ooh, that's going to be tight. You're really going to try to stiff the FSW students when you book them on your show.
Right.
You know?
Now
instead of paying them $20 or $30, you might say, hey, I got to cover this. So, you know, here's $10.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that's a very interesting point, which also is, you know, when you're looking at, does it become worthwhile for certain people who are, you know, traveling out here to, you know, am I getting a lighter envelope because of that too?
You know, and it's all about, it was like, somebody hit me up yesterday. There was a show in California, venue wrestling entertainment. I heard in BWE or whatever. And one of our guys hit us up, let me know. He's like, hey, cause he has a grandparent that he visits. So he does some stuff with the show because it's there. But it's a 5-hour drive. And he was like, hey, they're looking for two guys, you know, pays $50. And it's like, well, you know, you're not going to get your higher end guy driving 5 hours for $50. But we have students, you know, like Oliver Canada hit me up and they ended up getting somebody. But they're, you know, they to other companies, just like Santino's is a valuable company to me because I know they produce good people. FSW has a good reputation. So I ended up talking to the owner of the company and he was like, hey, I got it covered, but we got an event January 9th. If you know, you can get four guys for us, that'd be awesome. So, you know, that's the opportunities for, you know, the Adrian Raines and the Colin Muldoons and the Oliver Canadays, and they need to put four guys in a car, go on a trip, and get, that's how you get your experience. And, you know, stop worrying about working every single local show in town and keep your value up. And now you're going to learn way more going out and wrestling fresh people. You know, and hopefully, you know, I'm going to pitch like, hey, we really don't want to send four guys out there, drive that much for only $50, and then they're going to wrestle each other in a tag match that they could have did at training. You know, the idea is work with new people, give them opportunities. And I think with some of those smaller companies out of state, I think that might be my mission, I guess you could say, in 2026 of helping our guys get that outside work. You know, if my reputation's that good, well, maybe a message from Joe DeFalco means something to some of these people. And, if, you know, because he was like, hey, you know, I got a couple of guys I like to send out. I'm like, okay, well, you know, that's a possibility for a student showcase. But, you know, we're pretty filled up. You know, if you look at the future shock, you know, guys like Enrique Calderon and Freddie Cordova, and as we saw the debut of Live Danger, very entertaining. Yep. You know, Remy hit me up, hey, you know, you didn't have a future shock team. I'm like, I know they're good quality. They go right up into the upper echelon, but they got to get seen. They got to be known. You know, I saw them once at the Gabe seminar, but I like everything about it. They're humble. They understand. You know, they're from the new, you know, they paid to be part of that New Japan Dojo in LA. Yeah. And, you know, when I go to pay them, it's like, hey, you know, because there's the two of them, I dealt with one more than the other. And, you know, I try to make them aware. I'm like, hey, I'm, you know, just letting you know, these are student shows, you know, the pay is what it is. And he's like, no, we're all good. You know, this is a company we'd love to work for. So, you know, and they were easy to deal with. You know, Sky High, we hadn't had in a match in a little while. They were very eager. They're like, oh, cool. You know, it's a good match for them. You know, they had, you know, good teams. Young Money, great young team coming up. And Calderon and Cordova, especially formerly Flyboy Freddie. You know, he hit me up all the time. And it's like, you know, when I'm bringing people in, I'm not going to bring in the greenest of the green outside talent. I'm going to bring guys that are good enough to be on our regular shows, but there just isn't spots for them. You know, and occasionally there's a spot for Freddie Cordova and Enrique Calderon, but there's almost always a spot for them on a future shot. You know, and we were able to fill up a card easily, 8 matches, you know, but again, because of all the issues that were going on, I could have did a pre-show, I could have had other people be there, you know, but it's about getting reps and experience. Yeah, SOS already had wrestled Dana Lynn, but let's add her. I'm not going to have a SOS versus Taylor York match and leave off my student because it's a student showcase. So I kind of got to get her into the mix. It's okay that they wrestled before because they need the experience and they need matches. And, you know, we tried out some new things. You know, Jaden Cole got his first win, looked good. Jacob East, again, is a guy who you see on Future Shock to the average fan. Oh, you know, he must be a student guy. Well, he is per se, but he's got a lot more experience. And they had a good solid match, and he's definitely, you know, a good guy to have around. You know, he can fluctuate between both shows of whatever's needed. You know, he kind of reminds me of an early Kevin Koa, who you kind of put in spots and you saw there was good potential there, but you didn't know for sure. And, you know, Koa's improved, you know.
Yeah.
50-fold since he started with us, where I thought he would just be some guy that we'd have. And it was like, you know what? He did better than I expected him to be. I didn't expect him to be a guy that I'm trying to make sure I get a spot for on a show.
Right.
Compared to, you know, oh yeah, I need a body.
Sure.
And sometimes that happens. You want to give an opportunity. You need a body. You know, hey, I need an Oliver Candidate, but I don't need him to beat up an Ozzie G, who's 150-pound small guy. I'd rather have a 6'4" guy. And now let's see what he can do. So, you know, it's about placement and getting people in and trying to make things work, and some things work and some things don't work. You know, you got some guys on the show and it's just indie-rific, and it was, you know, one of the matches, you know, and that was the consensus of, say, Adrian Rayne versus Colin Muldoon, that it was just kind of moving and moving and moving. And it was really nothing. It was just like, let's get the stuff in. And it's like, right. You know, and it's invaluable. The fact that Chris Bay's there talking to people after every match. You got Remy there. You got Sugar Brown there. You got Ice Williams there. And they're all there. And it's like, I'm running around. I'm running the door. I'm the ring announcer. So these guys really step up and take that leadership role. And the problem becomes when the younger talent don't take advantage of it. It's like I had to specifically post on the student page. You need to talk to these motherfuckers. It isn't you just put your match together and make sure what you're doing is right. You know, we had an issue in the tag team match, and there was a wonky spot in the match where it looked like it was a three count, and the guy Sanders went to break it up, but he was kind of there late. You know, Tom counted the three, but then said that the shoulder was up. Well, that is kind of iffy. And now the referee, who's not that experienced, he's trying to save something because the guys that were involved in it, missed timing. And it's like, okay, first off, you guys got to be aware of your surroundings, number one. Number two, you're in a tag match. Gabe Rocha, he's a guy who pinned Oliver Kanadei, you know, bigger guy, kind of mixes well. Ozzy G's the young kid who's going to take the heat and whatever. And it's like, you want to peel back the curtain, but it's like, well, you know, maybe there shouldn't be a spot to where there's a visual three count, but it had to be broken up by this new heel tag team that we're trying to give something to.
Right. Sure.
And, you know, there was a lot of head shaking, like, what the fuck is going on? It's like, why did it even come to that?
Sure. Yeah.
So, you know, and again, these are where the mistakes are going to be made.
Right.
It's easy to make mistakes in front of a crowd of people who really don't know wrestling. So they see you do, oh, shit, a leapfrog. Oh, shit, he can jump and flip. Like, that's their cousin. This is not wrestling fans who that's the normal stuff. So they need to see good matches. These people, oh, my God, I can't believe he did a Hurricane Rana. Oh, shit, he did a frog splash from the top rope. You know, and it's like you have a much easier crowd to deal with. That's why we do the family and friends show, because it's basically the safe space show. And, you know, I've never seen a wrestling match before, but my cousin's going to be on the show. We're going to check it out. Oh, this is cool. Hey, this is great. This is fun. Kind of like when we did Natural Born Killers, and the opening spot is Ryan Couture taking down Dave Mazzani.
Yeah.
The MMA people that are at the show are popping because, oh, that was a cool takedown. It was like, yeah, that's not a spot that anybody gives a rat's ass about in professional wrestling, per se, to get a pop from a crowd. You know, you would think the guy just, you know, hit him with the, 450 splash.
In all fairness, it was on Mazzani. So, you know, that says a lot right there. That's a big takedown.
You know, look in wrestling when a Gina Mazzani throws Disco Inferno out of a battle royal. The crowd goes crazy for that.
Well, let's face it, Joe. Anyone who does anything to Disco in any crowd.
Yeah, that is true.
The best heat seeker in the business, man. And he doesn't have to do anything.
Nope. Happy birthday to who I just saw, Mr. Gilberti. It was his birthday yesterday.
Yes. Yeah.
Still in great shape. I don't know his age anymore, but I know it's got to be mid-50s.
We'll figure that out in a second. Looking here. We got a hello greeting here.
58.
Yeah, 58. Yeah. So,
yeah, you see the picture on, you go to the Bing, and he's got the chubby face. It's like, man, he looks in much better shape than this picture when he actually wrestled.
Right. And, you know, that's.
Love Disco. Not afraid to say it.
Disco's awesome. Yeah. Oh, absolutely, man. And by the way, if you type in Disco Inferno and hit Google search, you get the Tramps song first and foremost.
There you go. So. Yes.
All right. Luck of the Draw is coming up on Sunday, November 23rd at 5 p.m. at the Silverton here. Of course, it's going to be hosted by Chris Bay, the aforementioned Chris Bay. Again, you know, big match here. Killer Cross coming back home after leaving the WWE and taking on another guy who's coming home, Danny Limelight.
Yes.
Out of retirement from FSW.
Yes. And it's crazy to say that the Chris Bay show was 8 months ago.
Right? Yeah.
Man, yeah. I'm getting old quick.
Well, and it's, you know, and let's be real. The transition over the last 8 months that Chris has made too is crazy, right? You know, look at that progress. It's mind-blowing and inspiring.
Yeah, it would be wonderful to see Chris come back. And again, he is, you know, fully aware of everything. If it happens, it happens. He understands it may not, but hey, it's in the back of his head. And, you know, he's getting better and better every day, able to be a little more, you know, more active and able to do a little bit more, you know. And he's running classes, you know, every other Monday. He's really running classes every Monday because he has early session that right. features some, you know, good names that we have training with us, Layla Gray and Trisha Dora. And yep. Darius from Top Flight, who all live here and hang out. You got to message Aria Dabari. You know, hey, can I use the facility? Absolutely. You know, and we try to, you know, that way sometime down the line, you know, we had Aria wrestle on the, you know, the Chris Bay show. Chris Rico. Yeah. And, you know, I'm friends with his brother, Sean. Love Sean, another guy who's yep. been very, very helpful to FSW and, you know, helped train when he was no longer part of WWE. And then they brought him back. And since he lives in Vegas, you know, thanks to Sean, I got Mikey in to the NXT show that was at the UFC Center.
Yeah.
You know, and Sean's also helped get, you know, guys some extra work. And And again, that's part of everything. You know, it's funny. I'm going to make comment. I was on the Las Vegas wrestling page. I saw this about somebody running a school or trying to run a school. And it was fucking hilarious. So he's offering an 8-week class for $1,500. And I know who the guy is. He trained with us for maybe 3 weeks. And he bounced around. He trended a couple of other places locally. And his pitch is that certain wrestling schools, which I know he's talking about us, it's right. about how, well, you know, it's just a drop-in class because, you know, there's not a set thing for, I guess, beginners. And it's like, okay, well, we focus on beginners. And you're going to get trained by Kenny King and Sin Bodie and TJP will show up and Adilo Brown will show up and we got Bateman and we got Chris Bay. And 6 months of training 4 to 5 days a week, it would cost you $1,500. This guy who's probably had 3 independent wrestling matches is pitching like he's more valuable than our fucking school because you're going to train with a guy more advanced. No, it isn't a drop in class, bro. What means is we're not the typical wrestling school where we slow play you to keep getting your money. What right. it means is we try to speed you up and make you do more things, which is a detriment to me making money.
Right.
Which yeah. means I'm not trying to force, you know, you'd hear the stories, oh, well, Roland Alexander, you know, you didn't touch the, you didn't even get in the ring for the first 3 months. You're cleaning, you're doing grunt work. You have to earn right. that, you know, and that was the old school way of banging you for $5,000, $6,000 for the yep. day. And it's like, you know, Jaden Cole, for example, okay, your dues have been dropped. You know, he hasn't been training right. there for 3 years, but his dues got dropped. You know, the Dustin the Jester helps out. Dues got dropped. He's only yep. been there 8 months. So yep. it's based on your, you know, how you improve and what you're doing. And right. to put over yourself, you're the head trainer. You don't even know shit about this business.
Right.
And again, there wasn't very many comments and stuff like that. But wow, right. $1,500. I think it was 3 days a week for 8 weeks. That's $200 a week. I'm charging right. you $250 a month. And right. we have WWE people down there. We've had 25 to 30 students be a part of AEW, WWE, NXT, TNA, whenever they're in town. Like, right. don't try to, like, put down my shit. You know? Right.
Hey,
you got something to offer? Then show what you have to offer.
Right.
Your claim is you're going to give them the train. Yeah, it's going to be one-on-one training because you're going to get one idiot who's going to actually pay the $1,500 not knowing any better.
Well, that's the thing. And the honest answer is, you know, the idea and I can remember, you know, 6 or so years ago, sitting in watching Sin's classes, seeing guys like Robbie Amando, Fretzko, Watson, all these guys who are now at a different level were in that beginner's mode. That's how you build. That's how you learn.
And that's also the thing. So it's like, even if you have that guy as your trainer, the fact of the matter is, you know, he's less knowledgeable than, say, Adrian Rain to teach a class.
Right.
Okay. But let's just say we're taking a guy like a Fresco or Watson. But the fact of the matter is, if they're running the class, and that, yeah, they can run a class. There's a difference between running a class and being a main trainer. But right. the secondary thing is you take away the trainer when you're in training. You're training with Ice Williams, Shogun, yep. Hero, Fresco, yep. Watson, Braxton, Bodie.
Yeah.
All these guys are G Sharp. Right. These are the guys you're training with.
Yep.
Go to that place and you're training with the guy that probably washed out. Oh, wait, he did wash out. So, you know, but it's the other people that you're training with. Obviously, JKM, Dante King, Gypsy Mac, they got so much better. They trained with Gino Rivera. Gino Rivera is fine to teach the basics and the stuff and run a class. But the question becomes, why did they get so much better here? Because they were in the ring with 20 other people that were way better than them.
Right.
Now, at that place, they probably were the three best people there. So how do you keep getting better training with people? You're really helping the younger student that is coming through the door. So there's only so much upside you can get. You go in there, and when Bodhi is running something, he has way more knowledge than the average independent wrestler.
Right.
But no matter who you have in the door, there's generally always somebody who's better than you.
Yeah.
If you look at all the Future Shock guys, all the guys on the main roster are better than you. That's why you're a Future Shock guy. You haven't cracked being on the thing. And those are who you're training with. And now that's who you're doing practice matches with. You know, the one thing pretty much everybody agrees upon is if you're going to go to a wrestling school and you're not going to mine, make sure you go to a school where the people involved have actually done something in the business. Absolutely. Who's going to teach you, like we're talking about redoing the TV class and making it much more frequent? Well, when Chris Bay's there and Kenny King is there to teach you, or the guy who's had four independent wrestling matches, it doesn't take a fucking brainiac, because I know sometimes the students are dumb motherfuckers, but, you know, how easy is it to be like, oh, wait, well, let me think. I can train with Kenny King and Sin Bodhi and this guy. And hey, maybe TJP is going to come by to check it out, or Arya Daivari, who works TNA, AEW. And he's also a producer there. So it isn't like, you know, he followed his brother's footsteps. So he wrestles and he's an agent and a producer. And so he knows his shit. So how many guys in a, you know, how many people who have a clue in the wrestling business does it take to teach you how to wrestle?
Right.
Do you want 30 people or do you want one iffy person?
Well, and, you know, going
and
back.
It ain't even cheaper. Like, you know, I know some of the places in town where a guy would run a class. Oh, yeah, come down to give me $10 and I'll train you.
Right.
And it'd be like, well, you know, that's great. And sometimes there were people that were good that were running it, but it was as random can be. So you're trying to save $100, but you want to do this. So I think the odds of you making it are slim to none, because you're not really putting in the effort.
Right. And, you know, the similarities that I see, you know, one of the things that always, you know, from the first time I got to know the school was the similarities that we had at UPW, because you had Tom Howard teaching and you had Chris Daniels teaching. And then you had Cena and Samoa Joe, who were only there a year and they were teaching. They were already at that level of knowledge.
Right. It was like with us having Cross, and I remember Chris Masters was like kind of laughing, like, you got this motherfucker as a trainer? And it was like, well, we have him running like the promo class. And kind of, oh, yeah, because he saw what Kevin did in that realm.
Right.
And even though Kevin was green and he loved working with Kevin and always put Kevin over, and we love Masters, but then he understood that we put him in a position that, wow, this guy's only been doing it a year, year and a half. But Kevin kind of, I can't say invented the idea of doing a promo on Facebook and social media. Right. But that's what got him his tryout. And that's what got him noticed, because he was pounding it out. Yep. And all of a sudden you saw the influx of a lot of people doing those promos, getting people excited about what they were doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, that offering ain't happening in most places.
Right.
And, you know, the one thing I don't like is the fact that because of being in Las Vegas, we can't really structure the beginner, the intermediate, the advanced, because right. trying to keep a business open, again, the guys who are the Bodies and people paying a $50 gym fee, I can't take away from the guy who's paying the $250 a month to train to give the guys who are paying little to no money
yeah.
to train. You guys come in on your own time. You know, that's why, you know, Oasis and Vandegrift and Damian Drake and even, you know, Chris Bay getting the Monday early. And then on Wednesday, you know, Shogun and Hero, hey, can I get the key? And I'll open up for them at noon. And then 2:30 is Vandegrift. He doesn't need to go to the regular class. He doesn't take up the time. Right. They are kind of grandfathered in to yep. where the respect I have for what they do for me, that I'm willing. And again, it's only a 5-minute drive, but it's also a 5-minute drive. Hey, people I trust, I'm going to say, here you go. Come get my key.
Yeah.
I might not be home. I'll leave it for you. And yeah. they get their time in. So, but then there's the others and the Mondos, and you see like yesterday and the Watsons and the Frescos, and they'll come in, but they also are aware that a lot of the times they're going to have to do the beginner stuff, but they're going to work on matches and they're going to do stuff where the advanced guys. And I think the TV class is going to be great because we took an idea that Kenny and Spider and Mikey had kind of started doing, but it's having all the younger kids that aren't ready for those matches yet to be in referee positions. And who wants to be a manager? And, hey, who could run the music? And who could do yeah. color commentary? Because, you know, I'm running around sometimes, and it's like I'd rather not throw Chase Bell. Oh, yeah, he's pretty decent at it. And then there's certain guys that were like, yeah, he's fucking terrible. But right. you get them, give them that opportunity in the TV class. It's exciting. It's something new. Yeah. You get to try something. But I've also gotten many requests from people that want to be ring announcers and commentators. And it's really hard. There's only so much you could teach somebody to be a ring announcer. Yeah. You know, yeah. because there's also that little bit of work of, hey, these are the matches. You need to go to the people. Hey, what do they want said about them? You need to write shit down. You need to know what you need to be doing. It's besides the fact about talking. But right. as a color commentator, other than me and you sitting down and pulling up one of our 20,000 matches that we've had and say, hey, we're going to record it. And, you know, I'm going to charge a fee for an hour. You're going to pay me, you know, $40. It's got to be worth my time. But I'm going to yeah. explain to you the details of everything. It's harder to do. But now we've got a TV class and you're going to pay the same fee because you're paying for a class. But you're going to be the color commentator for 3 matches. And you're going to be the play-by-play guy for 2 matches because this is something you want to do and try. And now you're going to get feedback. You're going to get, you know, a copy of what you did, kind of like we're trying to do for Mania Week for the fans. Hey, you know, call an FSW match of LA Knight and Solo sure. Sikoa and Killer Cross. You know, I think there's value in that, and I think there's going to be people, you know, stuff that the WWE doesn't really do. And yeah. you want to open up to things and be like, hey, that's something fucking really cool. I'd yeah. love to do that. Like me growing up, that was, I didn't want to wrestle. I was on, you know, when Buffalo Jim did this stuff, hey, I got to be a color commentator. Cool. Didn't matter yeah. that the shit sucked. It was the fact that I was getting to do it. Right. It was cool. You know, I ring announced yeah. for him in the beginning when he needed a spot, you know, just, you know, to do it. I'm like, oh, this is cool, you know, being a yeah. part of it. And yeah. And again, you know, there were good guys on the show. Hey, I had a hilarious interview with Honky Tonk Man, who was motherfucking everybody, because when they were in Phoenix, you know, after he was out of WCW, that, you know, Hulk Hogan wasn't calling him up,
right,
to party and hang out anymore. And he's like, fuck these motherfuckers. Yeah, I always remember it was like, yeah, fuck Brutus Beefcake. Now all of a sudden he wants me to help him get a job. I get him a job, then I might not have a job. And it was just like, man, what a bitter dude. But it was funny.
Yeah. You know, you just brought up a name, Mr. Knight, Mr. Ricker. On Saturday, I pull up and, doing lift, get two guys get in my car, and I usually don't pay attention, you know, I'm whatever, get in my car, whatever. But I hear the voice, and I know immediately it's Ricker, right?
He's got he loves Vegas.
Right. So, but I'm not going to, you know, even though I've, you know, talked to him, I know him just a little bit. So I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to be that guy and, you know, get to the drop off. They went to 18 bin. LA Knight doesn't tip.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So whatever you taught him about how envelopes go and the money flow of things, I think you've taught him very well on how to save his money, Joe. Thank you. Thank you, man.
Well, you said he came with somebody else. How do we know somebody else didn't pay the bill and not tip?
True. Fair enough.
There you go. See?
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Trying to put my guy on blast. The guy who mentioned me at the MGM Grand.
Yeah.
You know, one of the greatest FSW superstars of all time.
Couldn't spare $2. $2.
He probably thought the other guy did it. I'll message him this week to let him know that there was an erroneous incident that happened in Vegas this past week. You know, probably said... tell him Dave Marquez will take care of it for you.
I should hit Marquez up. Hey, by the way, Dave, you know, Ricker said you'd take care of his tip from his Lyft ride the other night.
Or you could have said take it out of the money that he said I owed him. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. Question here. I kind of like this from Anthony. Can you guys see a guy like Bo Nickel or Raul Rosas Jr. transition seamless to pro wrestling, like you saw with Kurt and Brock when they picked it up right away? I mean, how difficult is that? Stefan Bonner, a great example of a guy, rest in peace. You've seen a number of guys go from MMA to wrestling. Some guys.
Didn't they ask about the kids class? What was the question?
No, you know, these guys who are, you know, either athletic.
I saw junior. I thought junior transition.
No. No, but if they're like MMA or if they're obviously,
you know, guys who've had that background, it's way easier. You know, look at all the people that have come through the pike. You know, if you put your mind to it and you take it seriously, it's very easy because you already have that discipline. You know, we got Dave Mazzani. We had Gina Mazzani. Gina Mazzani fought in the UFC. But those, Tom Lawler, you know, Tom was a professional, you know, trained to be a wrestler and then went to UFC and then went back to wrestling. And those guys, you know, when they put in the work, you know, even, you know, King Mo, and he ended up getting, you know, a little bit of a run, and even Rampage, you know, ended up wrestling in TNA. And, you know, Bonner got some TNA matches back in the day, you know, and even Phil Baroni did, you know.
Yeah.
But when you already have that it, and again, not saying that you can't, because most people don't have that athletic background when they start wrestling, and they're not shooty, and they're not, but the amateur wrestlers, the Shelton Benjamins of the world, these were, you know, even a guy like Cal Jack, who was local for a while. Cal Jack was a Pac-10 wrestler, you know, All-American. And he ended up getting signed by NXT and WWE and things like that. A lot of these guys, Gabe Stevenson, now here's a guy that was a can't-miss product who missed.
Yeah.
So, but a lot of people said the dedication wasn't there.
Right.
For what he did. Now, you got to get behind it. It isn't easy. It's hard work. And that's what you're going to learn. Like, oh, shit, this is way more difficult than I can imagine. You know, when we do our natural born killers or did natural born killers, you learn certain things that you didn't know. Like Robbie Litt from, you know. Yeah.
Sky High. Yeah.
Sky High. You know, kind of high flying, smaller tag team. You don't know. And then all of a sudden, you know, we ended up having him, I believe he fought Ryan Walker.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. It was,
and Ryan Walker was a Bellator guy who had wins, and it was very competitive because he had that amateur wrestling background.
Right.
So, you know, it's really good to have in that back pocket, because you want it to look as realistic as possible. And in these days, you know, you could be 170 pounds and be a champion, where in the old days, you know, you needed to look like Batista or Brock.
Right.
You know, and there's a big difference. We had around similar times of a Kevin Cross and a Chris Bey.
Yeah.
Oh, Kevin Cross. Holy shit. This motherfucker is 6'4". He's 260 pounds. Blah, blah, blah. Jiu-jitsu background. And then you got Chris Bey. I'm coming here from Virginia at 5'6" and I'm 150 pounds. Oh, what background you have? Oh, I watched a lot of wrestling. I want to be a wrestler. You know, two polar opposites, but they all rise meteorically to the top very, very quickly because of work ethic.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Number one, you know, Chris was not going to be denied being a professional wrestler. And in reality, Chris got there quicker than Cross. Their paths, TNA. Well, Chris got there in 2 years.
Right.
Probably took Kevin 4. And Kevin was the prodigy. You looked at Kevin and it was like, oh, shit. That's a bad motherfucker.
And Kevin got different opportunities, too. You know, Kevin got Lucha Underground. And, you know,
But it still took time.
Right.
You know, I remember the frustration of Chris, you know, 2 years into the business. Like, oh, I can't believe I haven't been signed yet. And it's like, there's this guy, Sean Ricker, who 10 years, he was just bouncing around the indies and finally got the TNA gig. And we had used him for a few years, and he was already a veteran in the independent wrestling business.
Right.
You know, and then 35, 36 before he got signed by the Fed and was in a horrible loser manager gimmick that was going downhill and he was going to be released.
Yeah.
Because they knew he could talk on the mic. And it was like, yeah, but he's managing these guys who never win. And it's like, there's no longevity in that. There's no shot. And he got lucky. And they gave him that opportunity with Bray Wyatt. He got the opportunity to talk. And all of a sudden, the floodgates opened. And it's like, you know, a lot of time. You know, these MMA guys, you know, there's a lot of talent there. You know, and if you don't have a big name, like a really big name, you really got to go out there and earn it. You know, Kurt was an Olympic gold medalist. So he kind of had a fast track.
Right.
So if he showed any potential, Brock showed any potential, they were going quick.
Right.
Yeah. Obviously, Gabe Stevenson, he was there a couple of years. And he barely got anything.
Right. Yeah.
And they probably paid him a lot of money and were dying to at least get some, because, you know, talking with Kevin, one thing that they were very big on WWE is ROI, return on investment. If we're going to put this money in for you, we know we need to get it back.
Yep. And especially on the athletes, because that's what they kind of transitioned to. If they were going to train them, you know, and you were going to get, you know, money off of that reputation already, then they want a return. And yeah, they'll, you know, you see a lot of those layoffs for those guys.
You know, look at NXT. Wes Lee, the former Desmond Xavier, guy I met in 2017 in China with Zachary Wentz when the OWE was doing the show. And we had them as the Rascals, and they were in TNA, and then he got signed, and then done very well. You know, he's in good programs. He was a champion, but he got released because the bottom line was they felt that what he did in NXT, he wouldn't be able to match on the main roster, and they felt that he reached his peak. Right, wrong, or indifferent, that's what they felt. So for what he was getting, they figured, you know what, let's find a Javon Evans, 21, 22, 23, 24-year-old who can slide into a spot, and we have him for 5 or 10 years, while Wes Lee, who'll probably have no problem going back to a TNA or even an AEW, extremely talented, very good. But WWE felt that he peaked out.
Right.
And unfortunately, when they're the boss, they can make those decisions. They don't have to be right. You know,
right.
I hear the cross story. We saw how Kevin was getting over, and Kevin was more valuable on his last day than he was 8 months earlier.
Right.
Because they didn't utilize him. And he got a little bit and turned it into a lot. And I always talk about, that's why it's funny, because him and Cardona, and that was what Zack Ryder did. Getting in the background, got himself over the YouTube channel. They gave him, you know, the Intercontinental belt, and then they systematically buried him. At least Kevin didn't get the burial that Zack Ryder did on the way out.
Right.
And again, look at him now. No hard feelings. He's gone out, and he's probably making more money. And now he wants to end his career in WWE, so he's excited. You know, he goes to NXT, and he's putting over a young talent. And there's no reason why a Matt Cardona can't be a main guy in WWE.
Yeah.
You know, as good as Zack Ryder was in getting over, Matt Cardona, you know, he's a stud in the wrestling business.
Yeah.
You know, he's a top guy.
Well,
and you would think with his connections with everybody, he would have an opportunity. So, and his wife's there, and she seems to be very well liked by the company, that when she left, they had no problem bringing her back. So kind of like, makes me scratch my head that he's really not back in that company.
You know, speaking of Cardona, called out Cross, the Indies are mine, go away. So I don't know, Joe.
You know that's the Joe DeFalco match right there. So
right. I know.
House like, of Glory, so, you bastards. The nerve of you booking a match before me.
But do you think it eventually you know, builds up to WrestleMania weekend, where, you know, Cross is defending the indie scene and his hometown?
Well, I put it out there for Matt Cardona because he talked about the Indie Mania thing, and I hate to steal things, but if you don't want to do it, Matt, I'll run Indie Mania with you, for you. And as I said, I posted on the thing because he had a thing about Indie Mania. I'm like, I got a venue, and I'll bring Cross.
Right.
And let's do it. You know, and you know, I'm also very friendly, as is Cross, with Richard Holiday, who's another guy that when you talk about these indie guys who really make the business great, he's that guy. You know, we used them a couple years ago, a Holiday and Anthony Green, who's really taken off. And Anthony Green knew like Cody and Remy and all them because he worked when they were doing that stuff at Sam's Town with the guy Morty from Oregon with the PPW and stuff. Another really great dude. And it's like everything is so much with connections. And it's like, man, I'm ready. You know, we got the venue. We got, you know, Chris Bay to be around. We got Hammerstone. You know, we got Cross. You know, let's make this happen. You know, FSW GCW 3. You know, I was talking with Lauderdale from GCW the other day. He actually messaged me, asking about, you know, if I was interested in doing the big shows that weekend. And I know why he asked. He's trying to get that ring for real cheap. But if it makes sense for us to do a show, even though we're running our own type of collective, the Full Tilt, and we'll have 12 shows to be front and center, because WrestleCon and GCW, and again, there's a lot of love in this business, Mania Week, people you get along with, and I get along great with Brett from GCW, that they're running their thing on the same days and same times we are. And you're going to pick and choose what you want to see. If we can make a big FSW GCW show, or the Chris Bay's Art of Finesse, or, you know, another type show, Indie Mania, whatever it is,
right?
You know, love to do it. You know, that puts us front and center. That puts us on the map, per se, instead of to, you know, the semi masses. Now it's the total masses.
Yeah, sure. And you know, since we're talking about some indie things and former FSW guys, Brian Cage, little setback, you know, that the operation had an issue on the right knee. So it's going to, you know, take a little bit more. But being upset and depressed upon hearing this news is beyond an understatement. It's maybe questioned a lot and bring a bunch of doubt. I hate having this, what was my mindset, and hopefully when they get in there, it's best case scenario. And even if it's worst case, once we get it fixed back on track, I'll pick up the pieces, rebuild, and become a better version of the machine once again. Yeah, man, it's, you know, tough and perseverance. It's crazy to.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, Brian's been up and down and up and down in AEW, and it seemed like, and again, him and Hoyt have been friends for years back in the developmental days, and they put them together, and it seemed like it was clicking. And man, he was finally getting a solid opportunity. Not like, hey, let's bring in Brian, have him beat up three jobbers, and then lose to Orange Cassidy thing. This was like, you know, hey, there's a shot for him to really get this opportunity. And the thing with Brian is he could have sat at home and collected his AEW money, which he's getting paid very well. But Brian wants to wrestle. And Brian wants to wrestle cool matches. And Brian wants to wrestle cool people. And Brian's a guy who didn't want to sit at home and just collect the dough. He wanted to earn his money. And, you know, and again, you know, this is going back to March. You know, he was so excited, man. First, when it was about Rich Swann, you know, and it was like, man, this goes back to the day. And then when we knew Ricochet became available and I told him I was going to add him to the triple threat, man, he was fucking pumped. Like him, Ricochet, and Swann, he knew that their job was going to be to steal the motherfucking show, you know. Right. And then he got hurt, you know, doing a small show for his buddy RVD, got fucked right. up on the Friday, and that was it. And, he was still there, you know, still supporting. And again, Brian's another guy, you know, been with him since 2009. And he was the guy who hit me up. And I'm like, oh, shit, yeah, for sure. And, you know, he wasn't the average wrestler I was bringing in for $50. I had to bring him in for $75.
Right.
And he drove in from Fresno. Then the Allegiant became a thing, and they flew out of Fresno. And the flights were like $69. And then eventually he was getting 100 and a flight. You know what I mean? And then
right.
all of a sudden he was getting, you know, he became the IWF champion, pinning Drew McIntyre in the final four elimination match that included Apollo Crews, Uha Nation, and who was the other guy in it? Chris Hero.
Chris Hero, wow. Yeah.
And it was like, wow, you know, those were great times. So, you know, Brian's been with me. You know, Brian gives me the best backhanded compliment of all time, that Joe DeFalco's his favorite promoter that pays him the least. So, you know, but there's a lot of love there. You know, we use Melissa when we can, you know, yep. work the women's show. She did the Bay show and, you know, she's an outstanding announcer. So, you know, nothing but the best for Brian.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
And those are the friendships, and those are the things that I've made because I loved wrestling and decided to start a wrestling company because I thought I could do a better job than what was in town. And I think I've succeeded in that way, made some, you know, lifelong friends. It's like, wow, you know, I can call Kevin. It's like, oh, motherfucker didn't answer, but he'll call me back that night. And I'm like, hey, blah, 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 about the show, what we're doing, you know, things like that.
Yeah, and in fact, you got a shout-out to this guy. Yeah.
So all of a sudden, it's like 8 in the morning, and I'm in bed. You know, my wife works graveyard, so I'm waiting for the call to pick her up. You know, usually it says spam risk. And all of a sudden, the phone says Rikishi. And I'm like, what the fuck? It's 8 in the morning. So I don't answer it. I'm like, I'm staying asleep. I'll call him back later. Then I get a message, hey, Oosh, give me a call. So I hit him up. You know, I'm thinking, this guy's looking probably maybe do something Mania week and seeing what's up or whatever. Because, you know, my last phone call was with him wasn't that great. I was trying to get him booked at the Hard Rock for the watch party. But,
right,
you know, when he's in hustle mode, boy, he ain't got no friends. Let's just say.
Right.
Right. Then he told me about his son, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, because of everything with Sepha, he was reaching out to me. So I'm like, yeah, let's get it done.
Yeah. Yeah. So keep your eyes out.
You know, the odds aren't 20-80. The odds are more like 80-20 that he's going to get signed by WWE in the next year or two. So,
right.
You know, only adds to our resume.
Right. Absolutely. Speaking of resumes, we also got this going on. Brittany Brooks. WWE ID tournament.
Yeah, you know, and again, that's what, you know, the connections, you know, Gabe Sapolsky, he put together that. He's seen Brittany, you know, FSW gets the mention, which is very, very nice. Yep. Erica. She was at the seminar,
yeah,
and I believe Tiara James was also for the Gabe Sapolsky seminar Mania weekend,
right?
And I remember him talking with her because I was sitting right next to him, and it was like, you know, the improvement that he's seen has been, you know, a lot over the times he's seen her before, and that's, you know, it's funny because you get a lot of the others, oh. It's a money grab. You're never going to get nothing out of it. Well, Brittany just got to work as an extra, and Bodie just got to work as an extra. And Jordan Oasis went from getting to be an extra to being an ID guy. and things like that. And it's like, you need to be on the radar. And if it's going to cost you a few hundred dollars to be on the radar, you're paying to be in a wrestling school that you're paying, but you're not on anybody's radar. How are you going to get anywhere? So sometimes that $100 or $50 seminar with somebody is well worth it. Like, I'll tell you right now, you know, I should book a seminar with Arya Daivari. People are going to be like, oh, you know, he's just some guy. He's on Ring of Honor. He's not even a main guy. And it's like, yeah, you do know he's a producer. He's an agent. That if he recommends you to be on AEW Dark or Collision, because, you know, I'll make sure I tell my guys that if you get 3 minutes, you take advantage of it. You know, I can tell you right now, I know for a fact the Sky Highs and the Suavecitos didn't get entrances and probably got beat up in less than 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And Sky High were my tag team champions, I believe, when Brian Cage and Lance Hoyt, and I had to bust Brian Cage's balls, like, really? You couldn't give them a move? You know what I mean? But it's like, you know, they got to do what's told. And that's their job. And I look at it, you know, and the more I see it and what went down in that situation, my thinking is, well, the one girl, because I didn't know the name, she was an ex-NXT chick. So she probably thinks of herself as having much higher value than some enhancement talent and felt that she was being disrespected. And their response is probably like, you were really kind of a nobody in NXT. We just need you to do your job.
Right.
And yeah, you could choose not to do that job, but just like one of our guys didn't get their blood work done and Daivari got him booked for SummerSlam weekend, they're not going to ask him again.
Yeah.
Love the dude. One of my main guys. But he didn't get shit done when he was supposed to. Yeah. So you have to pay the consequences.
Yeah.
You figure out a way to get your blood work done. You figure out a way to get to Phoenix. You figure out a way, because they're giving you money to do it. So if you have no money, you're still going to get your money, but now you're on their radar. You're going to be used as enhancement for SmackDown, and now they're going to use you for SummerSlam. And it might be just sitting backstage, but you're on their radar. You look good. You're a big dude. You know, maybe they pay attention to it. That's the only way you're going to get noticed.
Yeah, and Gypsy just got that little gig when they were in New Mexico. And also, number 137 on the PWI list.
Yeah, I mean, we got Brittany Brooks on that list. Yeah. Maya World, who's going to be on our women's show December 7th. We used her at the Future Legend Women's Tournament. Yep. Zamaya was on the list.
Yeah.
I didn't see it yet because I haven't been able to find the whole list, but I can't believe Maserati's not on the list.
Yeah. Well, again, these lists are twofold.
I don't put it much of a grain of salt.
Yeah, and you mentioned Richard Holiday. Richard Holiday didn't make the men's list this year, and he thinks he had the best year of his career. So,
he didn't make the top 500?
No, apparently not.
PWI?
Apparently not. And he was kind of shocked.
Yeah, then there was an indie wrestling list that I went through. It was a top 1,000. And I didn't even know. And it was like they use information from 118 independent promotions. I've never talked to them, so I don't know. But I saw the list. And then I saw Willie Mack was number 70. And Willie Mack was also number 83. So I kind of called them out on it. I'm like, hey, by the way, Willie Mack 70 and 83. And by the way, where's Danny Limelight? Not in the top 1,000? Like, it ain't because of what he did in FSW, but he's the reality of wrestling champion who's a major independent company. He was the United Wrestling champion. Yep. He's the tag team champion now. Yep. Funny, they responded and they were like, oh, good eye. Matter of fact, Limelight was supposed to be number 70.
Of course. Oh,
isn't that an interesting coincidence?
Of course.
So then I scrolled through and I saw that we are one of the 118 promotions that had our logo. Nice. Future Stars Wrestling. It had Champion G Sharp. They had their own top 10, which at I guess at the time it was Dante King, the No Limits champion. Jordan Oasis is in there. You know, Son Lu and Duke was in there. So it was mainly our main guys. But it was interesting to see because I had no knowledge of it until I saw that post. And then I was looking in the list and I saw, you know, some people in that list, which was Amaya, was in that list also, you know. And there was a lot of women in there. And it was just interesting to see. And it's like, where's a bunch of our guys? If we're on that list, man, there's guys I've never heard of. Yeah. Like, I've got guys that you haven't just heard of because of FSW, but they're also doing stuff elsewhere. Right. So again, it's impossible, 1,000 wrestlers, you know. But like the PWI, like, being on the list is fine, you know. But it's like, it's always funny because if Tito and Che are on the list, they're always like two spots apart.
Yeah, 498. You know,
$1, they're like two spots apart.
Yeah, like, exactly, yeah.
It's just a random thing, and then you have to put in for it, and nobody's watching all these matches and all this shit and knowing. But it does help to be on the radar, you know. Yeah, hey, Matt Vandergrift's in New Japan Strong. He had a feud with Darren Young, who's probably 132. Like, Matt can't break the top 500.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Sharp's in the list. Sharp's a guy who's wrestled all over the world.
Yeah.
He isn't in the list. But, you know, a Jordan Oasis or an Ice Williams got a good shot of being in the list because they were ID'd, and Cappuccino Jones and Jack Cartwheel. And because they're the ID guy, so they have some, you know, name value, I guess. So not being on the list, if you look at the criteria, there's a lot of people that are deserving.
Yeah. Oh, of course. And it's always like that. It's just really funny that every time it comes out, there's always this.
But it's shocking to me that you said a Richard Holiday, because he's a very, it's like Cardona. Those are the high-profile indie guys. Richard Holiday's made himself one of the high-priority indie guys.
Yeah.
Great dude. Super dude. You know, on the, and again, hangs with a good click, you know. Yeah. Tight with Hammerstone. Tight with Cross.
Yeah.
Tight with Cardona. Ran his shows in, you know, Devin Reno and Class went down there when Hammerstone they took the trip to Connecticut, my old stomping grounds, the Poughkeepsie Civic Center. I saw Quiet Riot and Keel there one time. I'll tell you what, I got to do an interview with Quiet Riot, and it was when their album QR3 was out, and they had a song, "The Wild and the Young," and it was way after like Come On, Feel the Noise, Mama, We're All Crazy.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a big hit, but it was a big MTV hit on the video thing. Right. So, and then they had a song called The Main Attraction. I dug the album, and they did the sound check. Basically, I was the only person there and the crew. And I was like, this is fucking great. It was when DeBrow was alive. It was probably, you know, 1989, whatever.
Somewhere.
And Ron Keel later became like a country singer, I guess, from the band Keel.
Right.
And then all of a sudden the doors open, and there was literally in the Civic Center, which seats probably 2,000-3,000. I would say there was 50 motherfuckers there. I was like,
wow,
holy fuck, there is nobody here.
Wow.
It was insane. Like, this was the number one video on MTV's, you know, countdown at the time for like a month straight. And like nobody was there. And it was like, holy shit. And then I worked at a club on Route 9, which was like 5 minutes from there, called Briars. And I remember after, because it was like 1 o'clock in the morning when the liquor, you couldn't serve liquor, so the club would close. And I remember I didn't have a lot of gas, and I ran out of gas right on about a mile past the club, because the mall was about 3 miles away, and I had to hitchhike to get gas. Oh. So I'll always remember that spot. And a guy drove me, but I had to walk all the way back because I never got a ride back. I got the ride to the gas station.
Right.
But, man, I remember it well. So maybe one day I'll go hang out with Richard Holiday at his show. Awesome. I think it's what? Awesome Championship Wrestling?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like he had a four-way. It was him, Ziggler, Cardona, and another like superstar.
Yeah.
In the four-way. And I was like, wow, that's an expensive match right there.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe you can get him out here for a luck of the draw. Because you started putting out all these names, man. Look at, we'll go through these before we wrap up here today. So we got Lights, Camera, Faction. So we got
they come in as the tag.
Yep. Luke Curtis, who has recently won a Battle Royal.
Yeah, he changed his schedule. He was actually booked to carry Layla Gray's bags in Orlando for her concert, but he canceled that to be there.
Yes, we got Bateman.
By the way, Bateman's Jay Vidal's going to be there.
Okay.
Tom thought he sent me the thing, but he didn't. So I don't know if you have a copy of it yet. It might have been just got posted. But Duke Lawrence, the former Nevada State champion.
Yep. We also have Zamaya, who we just talked about. Kevin Koa, who we talked about a little earlier.
Yeah, that might be one of the intergender tag teams that are looking, that they've inquired about for the women's stuff that we're talking about, the intergender champion.
Right, right. Tag teams. Would be an excellent combination to see.
Yeah, they were trying to get in the intergender tag, but I told them they weren't eligible.
The poor boys. The poor boys. I don't know, man. Jimmy Jack might.
Too much facial hair on both sides. So.
Sky High. Dave Mazzani, of course.
The firefighter.
Yeah, firefighter and ticket drawer. So,
yes.
Greatness and Tenacious. Of course, everyone looks forward to Ricky's walk to the ring where he sings.
I'm going to figure out how he's got to try to sing a song in 12 seconds.
AJ Hammond, who is definitely a crowd favorite. Adrian Rain, what is this new thing with the younger kids and these half masks?
Like, well, I guess somebody told them they have nice eyes. I don't know.
Yeah. Now, see, JKM, he's got the reverse half mask.
The reverse mask.
Colin Muldoon.
Who the cockiest kid, you'll ever meet.
We got Jaden Cole, who won his way into this. Of course, Jordan Oasis, your No Limits champ, will be involved.
And Power Slap winner.
Yes. Braxton. Will be involved. Dante King, former No Limits champion, will be in the match. Bodie, another former No Limits champion. The current Nevada State champion, San Lu. And then, of course, the six former champions in Remy Marcel, Shogun, Graves, Ice Williams, Hammerstone, and Kenny King. That's what you got so far.
Yeah, not many spots remaining.
I was just going to say, that doesn't leave too many
spots. I think we had 29 spots, 28 spots and 32, because actually we're missing one tag team, the Asylum, Marcus Anderson and Phil Godfrey will be going in together, not the Jester. He'll be managing them at ringside. Okay. But yeah, so that made 29 and 34.
Okay.
Total. So the odds are we're looking at 35 and 40. So we might have 35 entrants for 40 spots. And we're really leaning heavily toward 45-second intervals.
Okay. And which, I think
it means there might be more guys in the ring.
Right.
Which, so it might be like a battle royal with 17 people still in the match.
Which I think is always fun, man.
Oh my God, the Rumble has broken down into a battle royal.
Battle royal. But also on the show, you got the Unguided versus Pretty City Express, of course.
They thought they'd be in this match, the Unguided. They thought they would be tag team champions after what happened at the Halloween show. But Transcendence once again got help from unlikely ally with Pretty City.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Mariachis and Suavecitos going for the tag titles. That should be a pretty interesting one. Speaking of pretty interesting, Maserati, who never lost that championship, gets the shot finally at Brittany Brooks and the title. And, of course, Kevin Cross.
And then the winner of the Rumble, Killer, of course, wrestles G-Sharp in the main event.
G-Sharp, right. So it's, I mean, it's stacked. And it's coming up quick. It's only, 2 weeks away?
Less than 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then, of course, if you're around the day after, Monday night, the 24th.
Yeah, the next night. Yeah, that's going to be a big one. You know, you can hear her, and you can ask him whatever question you want. Kevin is not shy. He will answer.
Yeah. And it's, an intimate evening with a killer. It's 8 o'clock on the 24th. Tickets on sale now, $100.
Just added for $100. Kevin will give you a Saito. trying to strum up some more money for Kevin. So if you want to take a Saito, that is available.
And I think there's probably, one or two fans, he might get one for free.
Yeah, if Paulie tries to sneak in, for old time's sake.
Yeah, Paulie, very, very.
You never know, some of Kevin's old friends from, his past, like Disco Inferno, credited with being one of Kevin's trainers.
Yeah.
There's a good possibility you could get a picture with FSW Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Disco Inferno.
Yeah, there's a possibility that Disco can get his picture with Kevin, and that'd be probably his.
Possibly could. And then we're going to be discussing the future Hall of Famers, Chris Bay and Killer Cross. Maybe that'll be part of the next, because we skipped this year. Possibly going to do it at No Escape this year. Gotcha. Start off the new year. We're looking at February 1st. And maybe we're going to do the back-to-back with the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yeah, that would be great. And, again, here's a list of the upcoming events. We just had Future Shock. Lucky the Draw's on the 23rd. The 24th is the night with Killer Cross. And the 6th of December is the Future Shock, the next Future Shock. And then the 7th of December is the Future Stars.
Yeah, another double shot. We liked that double shot the last time.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good, this is a Saturday, Sunday, and it's before the holiday season. And then right before Christmas is season beatings on Saturday the 20th. And then finally, December 31st is Countdown to Midnight, which starts at 9:30 p.m. A lot of stuff coming up here as we count down to the end of the year.
Yeah, and who knows? We may, with the TV class, that's another idea. It's like, well, maybe that's another opportunity for family and friends, for people to perform. It makes it, they can see how a television production works.
Sure.
And, I think that's another option to where we go, that they could see some of the inner workings.
Yeah,
for a small fee, you could be a part of the studio audience.
Yeah, see people running around yelling at each other because this cable is not plugged in and this, the sound's not working. And
that's right. But yeah, so really trying to expand on the successes and try to limit some of the failures. however we can do that to improve, because there's always room for improvement with the school, yeah, with things like that. And thing, like I've always said, you know, it's not neglect. It's just hard all the time, but sure, developing more of the promo class and the character development to, yeah, to give people opportunities. That way, when they do have, you know, because again, a lot of times when you have that first match, you're out there a deer in headlights. It's like, well, the more we do these TV classes, and if there are people there, now instead of waiting for that Halloween gimmick battle royal match or being in just a random battle royal,
right?
It's about being comfortable, you know, yeah, being out there. And that is our job, to make you comfortable and make you aware and, you know, try to make things easier for you and in your development. And again, everybody's going to develop at their own rate, but, you know, as delusional and as a lot of times the grumpy old man Joe feels towards some of these guys about work ethic or helping right out, you know, the bottom line is, as much as we say, hey, back in the day, you know, back when we were young, if you see the younger talent on Future Shock in the past, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, we didn't have nearly as much quality to be able to run those shows.
Yeah.
And yeah, we have really good young talent. Now, sometimes their decision making is fucking horrendous, and I'll swear that their decision making decisions are way worse than people who made decisions 10 years ago. Not that they were great, but they're still way better than in a lot of cases here.
Right.
And common sense is just tragically bad. It's just like I can't understand it sometimes, you know. And but when they get in there, and again, it's like, hey, you know, there's a guy in his 70s, but he trained, you know, John Cena and Batista, yeah, and Randy Orton and Brock Lesnar. Like, yeah, you want to talk about the biggest fucking names in the world now.
And Enrico.
Rico
was there too. Yeah.
And the thing is, it's like, I guess, you know, Phil drove him, Marcus, you know, Jimmy Jack a lot of times. And all I hear is when they walk in is about all the great stories Rip tells you. So that alone is worth the price of admission, hearing Rip Rogers stories.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Rip's at the age where he don't give a fuck.
Nope.
You know, sometimes the things probably aren't politically correct, and I'm glad I'm not around when he's telling these stories, is all I got to say.
Well, there you go. Again, you know, it's coming up on the 23rd. Look at the draw. So, you know, get your tickets now. Check the Silverton website or go to
show. All sold out. We also have a meet and greet at 3:00, and we also have a 3:15, and then at 2:45 we have the Kevin Cross, Killer Cross meet and greet.
There we go.
You know, autographed picture, as well as an autograph and a picture you can get. Or you can get one or the other. You know, that's a special event. Eventbrite offers those tickets.
There we go.
So,
all right. Well, everyone, thank you for tuning in this week. Until next time, happy wrestling, everybody.
Yeah, and hope.